You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? As always, it is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenges. I'm a fantasy analyst at PFF and your host here at the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams and part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. Today's episode, I'm feeling a little bit refreshed here. It's going to be the Tuesday episode. We are now officially back into game week. There's no more bye week talk. There's no more waiting in agony while everyone else is playing. The Los Angeles Rams will be taking on the Green Bay Packers this week. And we've got a lot of days and episodes to discuss that matchup. Before we get there, this is the final one pre-game, I guess you can call it. And this one's going to be a bit of a different type of episode, similar to yesterday, except I have three major questions for the Los Angeles Rams that are going to need to be answered over the next 9, 10, however many games they end up playing, including the playoffs. But these are the questions that I think need the most answering right now. I think the ones that we all pretty much have when it comes to this team, you look at the offense, you look at the defense, a lot of questions, but these are the three overarching themes that I think the Rams certainly need to get solved here as we continue on into the second half of the season. So we'll begin right at the top with the offense, and it's kind of an oversimplified question here, a little bit vague, but really, in general, I want to know, can this offense adjust, right? We saw a lot of success from this offense, really, for the most part, through those first 7 or so, 8 weeks, maybe, and the Rams looked like one of the best teams in the NFL, probably the best team in the NFL. A lot of people had them up there in the power rankings, regardless of where you were looking, and, I mean, they were up there in pretty much every statistic that you can imagine, from EPA per play to average yards per play, or, you know, points scored, all these different types of metrics. They were among the best in the NFL. Now, the reason I asked this question here is because my friend Tage Seth over at PFF, a really smart dude, a data scientist, really good analyst, he actually brought this to my attention. I didn't even know, but he had an interesting stat where he looked at EPA per play, which means expected points added per play. Takes into context the down, the distance, the time of the game, and what's expected to come out of that play compared to league average metrics. And so it's a really good all-encompassing kind of statistic here. And the average offensive EPA per play under Sean McVay from weeks 1 through 4, I guess over the course of his career, was second best in the NFL at 0.15. Weeks 5 through 17, a whole different story, only 0.01, which ranks 16th in the NFL. So as you can imagine, for the first month of every season, Sean McVay, the second best coach in the NFL. I mean, he's absolutely devouring defenses. He's doing whatever he wants on that side of the ball. But then when it comes through, you know, weeks 5 through 17, the rest of the season, he falls off into like middle of the road, average, kind of middle of the pack type of head coach. And that begs a question. Why is this happening every season? Why does this consistently happen? It's happened every year. It doesn't matter, you know, when the Rams just started with McVay in 2017 and they were kind of like that up and coming decent team. We're not going to buy into them just yet. They're young, but they look pretty good and promising. Happened in 2018 when the Rams were the best team in football and should have won the Super Bowl. But second half of the schedule, the Bears absolutely demolished the Rams. I believe the Eagles also beat the Rams. That was a close one, but you start to see some of those losses pile up in the second half of the schedule, and it's happened every year. I mean, 2019, they had a bad stretch, I think, where they lost 3, maybe 4 games even, and now sort of has already hit that kind of middle of the pack average there. It was a little bit earlier this season probably than, you know, the second half of the season, but seems like we're right back into that same spot. And now I have this question, can they adjust, or are they going to be the same team that we've seen for the last 4 or 5 years where they look great, and then ultimately they get figured out late in the season, and then they have trouble really just overcoming that, and they don't seem to be able to do it. Now, the reason why I have sort of hope, I guess, that can happen here, one man, and I mean, there's a lot more reasons than this, but I think Odell Beckham Jr. could be a very big key piece to the Rams here. Obviously, this is a guy that's super talented, very, very good wide receiver. He can win on all three levels. Very explosive. He brings a different element to this offense, because one of the other questions here was, can anybody else on the offense, and more so the playmakers, the guys with the ball in their hands, can anybody outside of Cooper Kupp step up? And to this point, really nobody has, or they have at certain times, and then at other times they look like they're disappointing. You see Tyler Higbee have a good game, and then he goes on and drops 2 passes last week. one of which gets picked sixth. You look at Van Jefferson, great development this year. Last two games, he drops multiple passes, maybe four or five, one of which should have been a touchdown, one of which should have been a very long game over the middle of the field against Tennessee. So maybe he's not ready to step into that role, which takes us to Odell Beckham now. This is a guy that has played a lot of football in his career. He's been in the NFL since 2014, came in at the same time as Aaron Donald. He's nearly 30 years old. He's done everything you can do in the league other than go to the postseason and have that kind of success there. But he brings different kind of skill sets to this table and ability, right? Yes, he can catch the short pass like everyone else on this team, or can run a basic route, an over route type of thing where the scheme is going to get him open. But the other things that this guy does bring to the table is game-breaking speed, and the Rams don't have that on their offense right now. Like, he's running a 4.4 40 type of speed. I mean, this guy has, like, I don't want to say world-class sprinter speed because he's not as fast as sprinters, but when I say that, I mean, you know, he's as close as you could possibly get until you're actually as fast as those people. World-class sprinter speed, we'll call it that for the NFL's sake. This guy has legitimate over-the-top ability, better than Van Jefferson, better than everyone else on this roster. But the one thing that he really brings to this table is, one, he can bring contested catches to this team, right? I think everyone in the offense can do it a little bit, Van Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, but Odell has shown the ability to really, really do it at a high level throughout the course of his career. And Matthew Stafford is a guy that is very comfortable giving his receivers opportunities to go get it, which could be one of the keys that really unlock a little bit of what they've lacked in the past in this offense. And then the second thing, and I don't know if this is still Odell because this was the old OBJ, but taking a 5-yard, 8-yard, 10-yard catch and breaking a tackle and housing it. I mean, taking it for a 70-yard score. That is what I remember when I watch Odell Beckham. He's catching slants for 8 yards, making one guy miss, zooming past the safety. 10 seconds later, it's an 87-yard touchdown. He's doing a weird dance in the end zone. Everyone is going crazy. Now, it's been a while since he's done that. I understand that, but this guy is motivated. He's in a contract year. The Rams are one of the best offenses in football. He's got the best quarterback he's ever had in his career in Matthew Stafford, the best play caller probably he's ever had in his career in Sean McVay. He's really set up for success here. And if he can't get it going here for the Rams this season, then he's probably not going to get paid a lot of money. Now, I don't mean to say that the offense is entirely going to hinge on this guy. Everyone else needs to step up. We've seen what happens when the offensive line falters in week 9 against the Titans. They look terrible, the offensive line, and the offense was god-awful because of it. Then you go to week 10, Matthew Stafford plays a really bad game like he did in week 9 as well. The receivers dropping passes, tight ends not stepping up. And again, the offense looks terrible. So it's much more than just one guy. It's a bunch of compounding effects that have made the Rams look just god-awful over the last 2 weeks. It's made everyone sour. I see the YouTube comments. I see the Twitter, the media, everyone. And I get it. This is a week-to-week league. I mean, if you win 1 week, you're all of a sudden crowned. And if you lose 1 week, things are bad. But the NFL, I swear to you, is as crazy as I can ever remember it in my life. I mean, the Titans, they beat all the best teams, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Colts, all these other good teams, and then they lose to the Jaguars earlier in the season, I believe it was, and they just lost to the Texans. There's nobody left here that feels like they're good. I mean, the Packers just lost to the Vikings. They really had no business losing to them. They were considered, you know, arguably the best team. You look at the Bucks; they lost a week ago to Trevor Siemian, who just got smashed by the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, this is a weird NFL season, and as it stands right now, the Rams have as good a shot as anybody. Don't sour on them just because of 2 bad weeks. They still got a lot of football left, but the very first thing they have to answer is, can the offense adjust, or are they going to be that same offense that we saw over the last 4 or 5 years where they look great for a lot of the season, but they ultimately falter down the line, start to get figured out a little bit, and Sean McVay doesn't have any answers for how to change it up. So we'll see if they can, but that's not the only question here for the Rams. The defense, maybe even more so of a question. I know a lot of Rams fans have definitely soured when it comes to defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. We're going to dive into that in just a second here. You guys can always make sure to follow us on Twitter at QBsMEP, at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams. And thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. Now, one of the questions for this defense, and I kind of dug this statistic up here for the Rams. I talked about it last week as well. You look at Von Miller's addition, right? This guy's a great player. We all know how special of a talent he is. He's obviously very talented. He's obviously a guy that can get to the quarterback. He's had a very illustrious career, great game in the Super Bowl, all that good stuff. But when it comes to the Los Angeles Rams right now, they're blitzing at a level that is probably unsustainable when you consider it over the long haul, right? This is a team that maybe presumably knows that they're not going to get home as often as they should. And so, you know, they're kind of bringing more guys in pressure, which just by virtue leaves less guys in coverage. And it's worked to some degree. I mean, when you look at the entire season and the Rams, mind you, are coming off of a bye week here, the PFF numbers, they're still first or tied for first, really, in sacks with 36. Like, that is obviously a very impressive statistic. And you're not going to laugh at leading the league in sacks. Like, that is very good. You look at total pressures generated. The Rams are still 10th in the NFL at 139. Like, they're getting two quarterbacks. They're getting close to quarterbacks. They're forcing them to at least throw the ball maybe earlier than they wish. But of course, they do need to be better at just the coverage aspect of things, right? At the end of the day, if you're not doing a good job in coverage, it really doesn't matter how close you get to a quarterback. If you're not taking them down, you're leaving a little bit something to be desired. So the one question here for me on the defensive side of the ball, yes, there's a lot of coverage questions, but you know, those are just going to have to sort themselves out at the end of the day. Can Von Miller's addition to this defense be a positive, not just for, you know, the pass rushing unit, but can it help the secondary by allowing the Rams to blitz less, right? You look at the blitz percentage here for the Rams, according to PFF, once again, they blitz 31% of the time. That ranks 7th in the NFL. That is very high. Of course, when you have Aaron Donald on that D-line, you should be getting home with 4 more often, which means, you know, you rush 4 guys and everyone else drops back into coverage, all remaining 7 players. And the more guys you have in coverage, the more spaces on the field you're going to have covered. It's just, you know, virtue. So now you look at this addition, Von Miller, the guy's great. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame talent. He's a very good pass rusher still. Don't let it be twisted here. Yes, he's older. Yes, he's not the same Von Miller at 27. But according to the numbers prior to when he suffered an ankle injury this year in Denver, like, he was top 10 in every statistic you can imagine, including, you know, sack percentage, pressures, pressure percentage, win percentage, pass rush productivity. Like, this guy was really, really good. And I think we saw a little bit of that flash this past game against San Fran. No, he didn't really have any statistics or anything crazy like that, but you see him make a really good play out in coverage where he bounces a screen pass because he beats a blocker and it doesn't go for any gain, all because of him. And you also seen one play where I posted it on Twitter. It was a really cool clip. He has a really nice spin move against that right tackle. I can't remember who it was. Smoked him. And he gets to Jimmy Garoppolo in like a millisecond. And then Jimmy G has to toss the ball right into the floor. The play is pretty much dead, all because of that penetration by Von Miller. So you see the ability still to get to the quarterback. And the Rams, you don't make this trade for no reason. Like, this has to have some sort of surplus value or effect for Raheem Morris. Otherwise, why is Morris there? Like, if he's just adding another piece to the puzzle here and doesn't change anything because of it, well, then you're definitely not taking advantage of what you have on your hands, because the point of having guys like Donald, Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, some of these other guys, is to rush 4. That allows you to drop everyone else in coverage, which is going to help your cornerbacks who have been very subpar this season. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast. David Long, Robert Rochelle, they have not played well. Darius Williams up and down. Dante Dion, is he a starter? Is he not? Jalen Ramsey coming off the blitz. Like, getting this guy should, theoretically speaking, allow you to rush 4 more often, drop back everyone else in coverage, and just focus on where you're weak, which is allowing these guys to get help. If they have safety help over the top, then maybe your corners can get a little bit more aggressive, closer to the line of scrimmage, play a bit more press if it's zone or if it's man, doesn't really matter, and they can get into different types of techniques, right? You can start to play maybe trail technique, or you can start to do different things and utilize those different skill sets and tools that you have on your tool belt that maybe you can't if you only have a single high safety, or if you are going all out blitz 6 or 7 across the line of scrimmage and you have no help over the top. You have to play it differently as a DB in those circumstances. So now with Miller there, I want to see less blitzing. Now, blitzing is a good thing. If you're getting to quarterbacks, if you're pressuring quarterbacks, you're probably going to get them into certain areas where they're going to get sacked. Maybe sack fumbles are created. Maybe they're making bad decisions and throwing the ball in errant places, and you might get a pick or a pick 6. That is great. That is the design and the reason for a blitz, is you want to get that ball out really quick and you want your guys to capitalize on that. But if it's not working, it's not working. And the Rams have blitzed a lot and they've been very suspect in their coverage. Yeah, they had some good games against the New York Giants or even the Houston Texans for 3 quarters or some of these other teams, but those are not playoff teams. We don't care how they perform against them. Yes, get in, get the W, and get out. But we're really going to get an idea of who this team is when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Indianapolis Colts, the Green Bay Packers coming here, the Arizona Cardinals coming here. Once again, two games out of the next 3 weeks are going to be NFC playoff teams, maybe the first and second seed. Right now they are. Right now the Cardinals are the first seed. The Packers are the second seed. Like, if you can slow these offenses down, then we're going to get a good idea of who this team is, what kind of ability this defense has. Are they going to get better? Are they going to get worse? Are they going to stay the same? Mind you, this is still Raheem Morris's first year with the team. The hope, I think, is that you start to get Von Miller integrated into your defense more. He starts to know these plays. He can go, you know, be unleashed full mode type of thing. And Raheem Morris improves over the season. Like, you shouldn't be as good in week one as you are in week 12. Like, now you know some of your play styles with some of your players. They know you better. You know them better. You've now connected on a personal level. You've had time to implement all of the schemes that you want, really learn everything else that was left over by Brandon Staley. There's no more excuses. Like, we're really going to find out, is Raheem Morris going to be back next year? And I think that answer is going to be unraveled over the next 7 or 8 weeks, because like I mentioned, you have a brutal schedule coming up where it's going to be the Packers, the Cardinals. Yeah, the Jaguars are in there as well. But some of the remaining teams, the Seahawks, the 49ers who have beaten up on you for the last 2 years, the Vikings who look like suddenly a team that's going to be in the playoffs, the Baltimore Ravens, maybe the best team in the AFC. There's nothing left really for the Rams that's going to be easy outside of the Jaguars maybe. And I mean, is it really that easy? The Rams haven't looked good recently, so I'm not sure there's really any easy games. This team just beat the Buffalo Bills like 2 weeks ago. So I do think the Rams will win that game, but nothing is ever easy in the NFL. So we're going to find out a lot about this defense. And I really think that Morris is coaching for his job. Not now. I don't think he's going to get fired midseason, but I certainly do think this is going to have a big impact on Sean McVay going into next year, into the offseason, when he starts to think, are we going to go after a different D coordinator, or are we going to give Raheem Morris one more chance? Because at the end of the day, he has all the talent you could possibly have at his disposal. We talked about it. Donald, Ramsey, Darius Williams, Jordan Fuller, Von Miller. It doesn't get better than this. If you can't make it work with these guys, you cannot make it work in the NFL. It's as simple as that. And we're going to get that answer real quick here. I really hope they're up to the task, though, because they have a big part to play in where the Rams ultimately end up this season. But that is not going to do it for these questions. There is one more booming question here. Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, some of the expectations. Make sure to listen to that in just a second here. Before we get there, though, make sure to tune back in throughout the rest of this week. We're going to have a really cool crossover episode with Peter Bukowski, host of the Locked On Packers podcast. It's going to be a very, very good game between two teams that know each other a little bit, even going back to last year's playoffs. And if you guys want to get in on that game or some of this other fun NFL betting action like you always hear me and Brad talk about, go check out betonline.ag. They're back and they are better than ever with a new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your football and basketball action this season. So go ahead to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football to basketball to the NHL, boxing, UFC, all the way right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Make sure to take advantage of all the amazing offers available right now for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. And thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen here at Locked On Rams. For your second, go check out Locked On Bets. It is your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. And now we can dive into this final segment here, which is the last big question, I think. Yeah, there's a million questions for this team. Is the secondary going to be better? Is the O-line going to hold up? Can the running game be more productive? Are they going to run the ball more often? Are they going to change what they do on offense? There's a million, right? Every team has questions at this point, but there's one big question left here. And for me, it's, are Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay the guys that we think they are? Like, is this team as good as we think? And yeah, a lot of people don't think they're good right now. But going into the season, or think back 3, 4, 5 weeks ago, we all thought they were as good as advertised. Like, this was the team that everyone was trying to catch, the aggressive Rams. They were the number one team, the best offense. They had all these superstar defenders. Everything's shiny, new, fine and dandy. Everything looks good. they have grand expectations, regardless of what's happened over the last 2 weeks, which has been really bad for the Rams. We can all agree on that. It doesn't take a genius to know that the last 2 weeks are bad. Their expectations have not changed. Like, this team is all in. And when I say that, it doesn't mean that everything's going to blow up next year in their face, but it does mean that they think their Super Bowl window is open now. And it is. That's why you go get Matthew Stafford and trade 2 first-round picks and a quarterback who is pretty respected in the NFL for him. That's why you go trade a 2nd and a 3rd-round pick for Von Miller, who has 8 or 9 games left on his contract. Like, that is absurd. I've never really seen that type of value for a guy that's going to be a free agent in a few months. But the Rams know they want to bring him back, and we'll see if they can do that in the offseason. But they know what he can bring to this table. That's why you go get Odell Beckham. And yes, now Robert Woods is down and out for the season, so Odell basically just slots in there. Not one for one. They're not the same player, but he's basically just slotting into that position now. But a week ago or 2 weeks ago when they added him, Robert Woods was completely healthy. Like, there was no, you know, we're replacing anyone. No, they were like, let's go get another superstar because there's just never enough. Like, the expectations for this team, you make these moves, you pay this money, you trade all your future assets away, or a lot of them, at least the expensive ones, to go get a shot at a Super Bowl. And those are the expectations. We thought, you know, Matthew Stafford, this guy's been great throughout the first half of the season, or that first quarter, looked like an MVP. I talked about it on here. I said he is the MVP favorite. Now, again, tailed off a little bit, but is he the upgrade that we thought he was? Is Sean McVay the head coach that we think he was? Or is it going to be more, you know, games where they look completely lost? Like, that's the issue with McVay. They don't lose games. They lose games bad. It's not like, you know, the Buffalo Bills hit a last second field goal on you to win the game and it was a 60-yarder. Great. No, it's like we look horrible in this game. Our offense looks completely out of kilter. And we lost by 14, but we turned the ball over 5 times and we look like a completely discombobulated team. I don't know what it is with the Rams when they lose and why they always choose to lose this way, but there needs to be changes. Like, they need to adjust. They need to fix up. We need to see what Matthew Stafford can bring to the table here throughout the rest of the year. We need to see, is Sean McVay as good as advertised? Can they meet these expectations, which are very grand for them? And the last thing, continue to overcome these injuries. Like, usually the Rams are pretty healthy, and from 2017 through 2020, they were the healthiest team in football. Like, that's just the reality. They weren't losing players like a lot of these other teams were, but that always comes to an end at some point, and that injury luck has sort of come to an end at this season, right? You look at, you lose Cam Akers on the offensive side of the ball, you lose Robert Woods, both guys out for the year, both very instrumental to what you want to do on offense. And then on the defensive side of the ball, really is just as bad. You lose Justin Hollins at edge. He's a really good player who's developing for them and initially was a starter and a really good performing one. Then you lose Sebastian Joseph Day at D tackle, your starter, one of the best run stuffers in football, potentially out for the year. Both of those guys, we don't really know when they're going to come back. Darius Williams loses 3 games to short-term IR. Like, there's been injuries here, and the Rams need to find a way to continue to overcome them, lean on the players that you do have, and just find a way to get the job done. I still choose to believe this team will solve a lot of these questions, and no, they're not going to get into the playoffs with 0 questions and look perfect. That's not how the NFL works. Like, every team has questions. You look at Tom Brady's Buccaneers. Yeah, Tom Brady wins damn near every year. We know that. The guy's like unstoppable when he gets to the playoffs, yet they have a ton of questions. Like, this is just how the league works. Everyone that's good or has looked good at some point has also looked really bad at some point. And so the season's not over for the Rams. They got a great shot this week to go against another NFC favorite, somebody that they would love to hold a tiebreaker over with a head-to-head win here in the Green Bay Packers. This is a good shot. I mean, for Sean McVay to not only beat Matt LaFleur, his former offensive coordinator, but the Rams to really cement themselves as one of the best teams here. And you look at the Packers. I mean, they just lost left tackle Elgton Jenkins to a torn ACL. He's out for the year. Former superstar left tackle David Bakhtiari not going to play in this game. I don't believe cornerback Jair Alexander is going to be ready to return for this one. Edge rusher Za'Darius Smith. That's 4 Pro Bowlers. The Packers are really going to miss 4 superstar talents and maybe even running back Aaron Jones. He might not be ready to go in this game either. 5 Pro Bowl talents. Like, the Rams have no excuses anymore, and it should start this week. I mean, if you can beat the Packers, you feel really good about where you're at, because then the next week, you go to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. It should be a win. I'm not going to say an easy win. Should certainly be a win. And if they can stack that one as well, then you get ready for another matchup with the Arizona Cardinals. And that is really the season-defining game right there. If the Rams can win these next two, that is going to be the one we all have circled, because that is going to decide what happens in the NFC West, who's going to win the division. But not just that, it's probably going to decide who's also going to win that first seed in the NFC. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. There's still a lot of time before we get that far. But the Rams, like I mentioned, they're a great football team. They are a very talented football team. And in my opinion, yes, it doesn't feel like it, but they can absolutely be an ascending one when you start to think about what Odell can bring to the table, what Von Miller can bring to the table. They've just had a week to sit down, indulge in the playbook, really get to know what's going on here. Now the Rams have as strong of a potential push as any other team can going into the second half of the season. So hopefully we get to answers to some of these questions. Hopefully the Rams can come out stronger here and win us back over with a nice win over the Green Bay Packers. We're all going to be all eyes on that matchup. It is going to be the game of the week, in my opinion, a huge, huge pivotal matchup in the NFC to determine some of the playoff seeding that's going to happen in just a few short weeks going into the playoffs. That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On Rams. Thank you guys so much for always making us your first daily listen. And just a reminder, make sure to tune back in throughout the rest of this week, especially for our Thursday crossover episode with Peter Bukowski, host of the Locked On Packers podcast. It is going to be a really, really good one. And just a reminder, you guys can always come connect with us on Twitter at QBsMEP, at Locked On Rams, and on YouTube at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.